Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, we are in our second week of this short series that I'm calling Tis the Season. And we began last week and talked about a lot of words that we typically use when we say Tis the Season. And last week we used a word that we don't normally use at this time of the year. And we said, tis the season to be overwhelmed. And I appreciate your response to that sermon. I think it struck a chord with folks because it's not something that we typically talk about at this time of year. And we're going to continue that today and use a word that we don't use very often at this time of year, but that very honestly, a lot of people feel at this time of the year. And the subtitle of this series is that we want to deal with how we feel. And so today we're going to talk about the fact that for some folks, tis the season to be depressed. Now, most of our Christmas songs don't fit that theme. In fact, at the end, I'm going to share one with you that I found that may. But I've already talked to some folks this morning who said, you know what, I really wasn't looking forward to this, but you're going to be talking to me today. And that may be the case, especially for some of you who are at home this morning, that this may be a season that you feel just a little depressed. And we want to acknowledge that, and we want to talk about that, and we want to deal with that in some really practical and helpful ways. And so I hope this series and this sermon won't be a downer to you, but I hope that it will be something that is very, very helpful to you this year. Because this is a year, well, the holiday seasons are always a time where emotions are magnified. Our emotions are just magnified at the holidays. Whatever we're feeling, we feel it even just a little bit more during the holiday season. And this has been a year that a lot of folks have been under stress. And so that stress is magnified at this time of the year. And for a lot of folks, it's still a season that twinkles with silver and gold. But for a number of folks this year, it's just a season in which they feel blue. And your goods are really good and your bads are really bad this year and during this season. And I spoke with a couple of professional helpers this week who just confirmed that this has been a harder year for folks. And they've seen more folks. I talked to a chaplain this week who just said, I've just seen so many more people this year than I ever have in the past. And most of them don't need help long term. They don't want to talk about marriages, or they don't want to talk about grief, or they don't want to talk about, they just need somebody who will listen, who will just hear them out, and they feel better once they talk. And that may be the case for you. So let's deal with how we feel. And the reality is that some folks are just feeling depressed this year. Depression is so rampant that one psychologist called it the common cold of emotional health. Just something that everybody is going to get and everybody's going to deal with. And there's not always an obvious cure. And it touches all kinds of folks. It's not a respecter of persons. It touches men. It touches women. It touches the rich and the poor, the white collar, the blue collar. Great leaders, men and women that you esteem and want to emulate, have been seriously battled depression. Winston Churchill was one of those. He called it the black dog, and sometimes it would just hang over him. Abraham Lincoln was one who dealt with serious depression throughout his life. And so great people aren't immune to it. And godly people are not immune to it. And I need to make sure that you hear me say that this morning, that godly people are not immune to depression. We can see it at periods in Moses' life. We can see it in Job. We can see it in the prophet Jeremiah. We can see it in the prophet Elijah. They all dealt with depression. And so for today's lesson, we're going to take a look at Elijah. And we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19. Elijah had a pretty hard ministry, not one I would want to follow. He was a prophet for God during a really evil and wicked time. The nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, was led by a king and a queen named Ahab and Jezebel, who were just very, very wicked. and they led Israel into the worship of a god they called Baal. They led Israel into all kinds of sin. And there's a reason that folks don't name their kids Ahab and Jezebel anymore. They're not folks that we want to be like. These are the folks that Elijah had to face in his ministry. He had to go to them, these evil rulers, he had to look them in the eye. They were wicked and they were rebellious against God, and he had to call down God's judgment on them. And one specific judgment that God told him to call down on them was that because of their sin and because of the sin of the people of God, God was going to bring drought on the land for 3 years. After that, Jezebel was so angry with Elijah that he had to run and he had to go into hiding because she put a price on his head and a bounty for his life. After about 3 years, God told Elijah to come out of hiding and to go and face the king and the queen and all the false prophets of Baal. And so Elijah met them on Mount Carmel. And this is one of the great, great stories in the Bible. And we're not going to go into all the details, but Elijah faced down Ahab and Jezebel and 450 false priests and prophets of Baal. God came down in power and God came down in fire on that day. And the people rose up and they slayed the prophets. And that was a great spiritual victory for Elijah. He was on a real high after that battle and victory on Mount Carmel. And then he prayed to God, and God said that the drought was going to end. He looked across at the ocean and he saw a small cloud forming and moving in the direction of Israel. And God said, I'm going to bring rain. And so Elijah went to the king, who was already in his chariot, and he said, you better get to your palace quick because rain is coming. So Ahab's chariot took off, and the power of God came on Elijah. And he ran so fast that he beat the chariot, and he ran for 18 miles. So Elijah has had this great spiritual victory. He's had this great physical victory. And that's an incredible chain of events. I mean, talk about your highs and your lows, your emotional ups and your emotional downs. And I don't know what you would have done after that kind of day, after that kind of season. But here's what Elijah did in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. Elijah came to a tree and he sat down under it and he prayed that he would die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. Now, that's a pretty incredible story. And an ending that we probably would not suspect. But it's a story that helps us talk about how to deal with what we feel. And there are some strategies that we can see as we gaze at Elijah's life that I hope will be helpful for you as you deal with how you feel. And the first one is, and if you have an outline, and you may have that online as well, we want to be aware of the potential problems in our life. We want to be aware. That's why we talk about this kind of stuff, even when it's the season we really don't want to talk about it. We want to be aware of potential problems. What does depression look like? When does depression strike? And if we will look, we will see some patterns. We see them in Elijah's life. We will see some patterns in our life that are usually an indication that there are some potential pitfalls and some potential problems. And so the first one is that depression hit Elijah when he was physically tired. That's a pattern that you need to be looking for if you really feel the stress of this season and you really feel maybe this season you don't feel like you felt in Christmas's past. And so depression hit Elijah when he was physically tired. He was literally just worn out. He had faced down 450 enemy prophets. And then he had run for 18 miles and he was just tired. He was physically and emotionally drained and exhausted. And the reality is we are more prone to depression when we are tired. Second thing we see is depression hit Elijah when he was emotionally drained. He had experienced, as we've already said, this incredible highs And then he crashed to these incredible lows. And that is also a pattern you may very often find in your life, is that after this really incredible mountaintop experience, you will come down quickly into a valley experience. New mothers experience that. They call it postpartum depression. A lot of times you'll see a sports team who just had this incredible win, just against all odds, had this great game, and they won. And then the very next week, it looks like they're not even on the field. They're just not showing up. Doctors call it post-adrenaline depression. Elijah experienced it. A third thing we see, a pattern, is that depression hit Elijah during a season of constant problems. Does anyone relate to that? A season of constant problems. See, Elijah just didn't have one problem. He had a whole series of problems, and he was under stress for an extended period of time. He had to stand up against these leaders. He had to stand up against enemies. He had to deal with God and the things that God was wanting him to do and wanting him to say. And he suffered through a drought just like everyone else did. And he hid out for 3 years. He stood up on Mount Carmel. He had to run away from Jezebel. I mean, we could just go through the list of all the problems, this extended period and season of problems that Elijah had to face. And that does sound familiar to us. The specifics are different for your life than Elijah's life, but the reality is we are dealing with problems this year that we've not dealt with in the past. We're having to make decisions, as we talked about, differently than we ever have before. It's been a season of constant problems, a season of trouble. And when we deal with that, we're very prone to depression. Fourth thing that we see, depression hit Elijah when he felt alone. And again, that is one that more this year than ever before, there are folks out there who are feeling alone, feeling isolated, separated. Because we weren't made to be alone. Did Aaron Baker's wedding yesterday, and we were reminded of that truth. God said from the beginning, it wasn't good for us to be alone. In our penal system, when we want to punish someone to an extreme degree, what do? We put them in isolation. We separate them from everybody else. We put them in solitary confinement. And the reality is that too many of the folks that we know and love, folks who are watching right now, have been in a form of solitary confinement for far longer than they thought that they would. So you're probably more prone to this depression this year. We need to talk about how to deal with how we feel. Some of you are more prone to depression because you're anticipating being alone over the holidays. The single person who is going to be in their apartment by themselves. The person who buried their spouse this year. Parents whose kids will not be coming home this year. See, Elijah ran away so that he could be all alone, and he laid down. And when he was alone and in that state, he prayed and just said, God, would you just let me die? And you may know how he feels. And so you need to be looking for those patterns, looking for those potential problems. But I don't want to just leave you there. I also want you to look for the next step, and that is to be proactive. Once you've recognized how you're feeling, once you've recognized the situation that you're in, once you've recognized the circumstances that are the reality this year, then there's some things you can do to be proactive. And I admit that it's hard to be proactive when you're depressed. But we're going to be praying for you, and we're going to be encouraging you, and you can find it within you, I hope, just to take at least one step. After my daddy was killed, my mama went through a really long season of depression. And so I sympathize with you if that's where you're at. And so let's look at some proactive steps that we see that Elijah took. And the first one is that Elijah rested. He rested. He needed physical renewal. Verse 5 says that he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. And the reality is that we live in an artificial world. We live in a world that we have kind of created around ourselves, and it's artificial. It's not natural, because the natural world kind of builds in some times that we would rest. But we have overruled those, and we have lights and all kinds of other things that we keep on long into the night. And so many of us, I mean, we've lived this way so long, we don't know any other way, and we don't always get the rest that we need. I remember specifically one night, it was cold and we had built a fire, and then the electricity went off and we were just sitting there, and it was as quiet and it was as dark as I really ever remember it being. And I said out loud to Paula, this is something we never experience anymore. When's the last time you really experienced perfect stillness and quietness? When's the last time you experienced that kind of darkness? See, we live in an artificial world, and I'm not advocating that we go back, you know, a century or two, and that we live without electricity and all the modern conveniences. But what I am advocating is that, especially at this time of year, when it is so busy and you're so overwhelmed, you got to build in some time to rest and to renew yourself and turn some things off so that you can slow down and rest. See, the key to winning a race is your pace. And so you got to pace yourself. That's a proactive step that you can take. Take some time to rest. The second thing that Elijah did is he reconnected with people. He reconnected with people. That was relational renewal. And while he was under that tree being depressed, he started to whine. He felt all alone. He said, no one else understands what I'm going through. No one else has ever experienced what I am experiencing. And God came to Elijah and he said, you know what, Elijah, you're not alone. I've got other people too. You're not the only one, Elijah. And it wasn't long after this that God gave Elijah a helper and a companion and a friend, and his name was Elisha. And I think it was probably a direct connection to this moment. Elijah needed some people to connect with. And so if you are feeling alone, if the reality is that you are alone this year, you're going to have to be more creative to connect with people. But I really, really want to encourage you to find a way to do it. Be proactive and take that step. If you haven't been coming and worshiping with us, and you could, I'd encourage you to go ahead and take that step. Get reconnected with God's people. If you can't do that, maybe there's just you need to be the one to initiate some phone calls. Start making some calls and just connecting with people and asking, how are you doing? And they'll probably ask you how you're doing, and it'll give you a chance to talk. There's so many ways that you could find a way to reconnect with people. Even if it's just to get together with one other person in a way that you feel safe. It's really, really important to reconnect with people. It's one of the biggest steps that you can take. Third thing that we see that Elijah did is he reconnected with God. He reconnected with God. And when we feel depressed, when we feel blue, we very often feel disconnected to God. We wonder if God cares. We wonder if God sees. We wonder if God is there for us, if he understands. And we also are hesitant to get reconnected with him, because a lot of times we think, well, God wouldn't want to be connected with me when I feel this way. But I want you to see something really important in Elijah's story. Because when Elijah was at his lowest, God came and God showed up. And he didn't show up as an earthquake. And he didn't show up as a blazing fire. And he didn't show up as incredibly loud thunder. The way that God showed up for Elijah when Elijah needed it most was just in a small whisper. He was close. You got to be close to somebody if they can hear you whisper. God came close. He came right to where Elijah needed him. Under that depression, under that loneliness, God showed up. And I believe God will show up for you. I have confidence in God. Maybe I'll have some confidence for you that you don't have right now this morning, that God will show up that God will come close to you at this season when you need him the most. And I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to trust me, trust God, trust people around you. And if you're hurting this morning, I want you to let us know. If you're feeling lonely this morning, I want you to let us know. If you're feeling tired this morning, I want you to let us know. If you're feeling depressed this morning, I want you to let us know. And I want you to reach out to someone. And I'm going to ask you to reach out this morning in two ways. I want you to literally reach out. If you're in this room or if you're at home, I'm just going to ask a couple of few questions. And if the answer to one of those questions for you is yes, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. That means somebody else around you is going to see, and that's going to be okay. Because that's the best way to deal with how you feel, is to let somebody else know. And then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to have you reach out in one other way. So I'll just ask you, are you tired this morning? If you are, would you just reach out? If you're at home, we're going to trust that the Spirit is going to connect us, and you reach out. Are you experiencing a low right now? Do you feel alone this season? Is this a season that just honestly feel a little depressed? What I'd like the rest of you to do, if you didn't raise your hand on one of those, would you go ahead and reach out? Would you reach out to the Lord with me? Would you reach out for other people this morning? If you're at home, we're going to reach out and pray for you. Father, we come this morning and we are reaching out. We're asking you to reach down. It's one of the incredible messages of the whole Christmas season, is that you reached down to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, not only do we have him, but he has sent us the Spirit, who is within us, who helps us. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to connect us this morning, Lord. Connect us to folks who are tired and lonely and low and depressed. And we just ask for your help, Lord. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your strength. We ask for you to carry some folks this morning. We ask for you to be so close to them that they hear you whisper in just a simple and a small way. We pray in Jesus' name for our brothers and our sisters and our friends. Amen. And if you did reach out this morning, I want to encourage you to reach out in another way, and that is to go to our website, especially for those of you who are at home. Go to our website, tenthandbroad.org. There's a icon there that you can click to share prayer requests. Let us pray for you. Let us know how you need help today and this season, and let us pray for you. There's one other proactive step you can take. And number four is that Elijah got back in the game. Elijah got back in the game. He had a renewal of purpose. God came to him in that still, small voice, and God gave him a mission, and he was supposed to go to Damascus, and there were three different people that he was supposed to anoint whom God was going to use. He renewed Elijah's purpose. And I pray that as you reach out to God, he will reach out to you, and he'll just help you get back in the game. Find something to do that is a part of God's will for you. Because the reality is, when we spend all our time self-absorbed, dwelling on ourselves, we stay in depression. So we need to find something to do and find someone to help and find somebody who's worse off than you that you can encourage. And I think you'll discover that as God uses you to encourage other people, you will be encouraged. And God will encourage you. God will lift you up as you lift up other people. And he will use your experiences to help someone else who's having a similar experience. So be aware of the patterns. Be aware of how you're really feeling. Learn from Elijah and from the Lord that there are some very simple, proactive, small steps that you can take. But I also want to say a word this morning to folks who are saying, well, you know what? I don't feel any of that, Ken. I don't know what you're talking about. In fact, I don't know why you're preaching this series, because it's Christmas. Things should be, I'm happy, I'm fine. And there are a lot of folks who are. Here's what I want to really say to you this morning. Is you're in a prime position to help somebody who's not. See, just as easily you can get caught up in how great you feel and not look around and see that the person next to you may not feel that great. And when I think about that, I think of one specific instance, one dear, sweet, godly lady that a lot of you will remember. Her name was JoLynn Lawson. And after my daddy died, he died just a couple of days before Thanksgiving. And we made it through Thanksgiving just because we were numb. But Christmas was coming and we felt it looming. And we brought my mama back home with us for a while. And like I said, she was not in a good place at all. And sweet, dear JoLynn Lawson called us and said, would you bring your mama over? We'd like to have a meal. And not only did she have a meal, she had an incredible meal. And she gathered a group of people. She decorated her house, I mean, to the nines. And my mama loved that kind of stuff, loves that kind of stuff. And it really was one of the most special nights we spent. I'll never, ever forget it. I'll never forget what JoLynn did for my mama that night. So if you're in a good place, God bless that, and God bless you, and make sure and use that to bless somebody else who's not. I said that I had a Christmas song that it's one of the few that I could find that in some way kind of deals with this. It's not one we really sing that very often, but it begins, God rest ye merry gentlemen, and it says, let nothing you dismay. Now, that's not the way we talk. But there are some things that are dismaying, some things that are overwhelming, some things that are depressing. And the song reminds us that even when you feel that way, keep going through the song, because it ends by saying that there is one who has come to bring comfort and joy. And so I pray God's blessing on you this morning, and that no matter how you feel, that you will find through Jesus comfort and joy.